Well, good morning. Hope that everyone here had a great Thanksgiving. I know that for us, for our family, we watched the parade, and of course, at the end of the parade, the exciting thing is that Santa Claus comes on out, which means that now it is legally permissible to listen to Christmas music. Very exciting. Otherwise, we all know that you're a sociopath. But with Santa Claus, it's permissible now, and also, our family tradition is that we are really big into all the Christmas movies, don't you know? We watch all of them and multiple times throughout the season. And it is kind of a question. It's like, why is it that we keep watching these movies? I know some of it's tradition and you gotta watch Charlie Brown on Christmas or something, but why? What is it about Charlie Brown or some of these movies that have this draw? Why do we have to watch it every year? And the answer ultimately is because of the story, that they are relatable, that there's just something about some of these movies that we see ourselves in them and it resonates with us. You know, so for example, if you are stressed out about finding a toy, we have Jingle All the Way, right? If you're stressed out about family and relatives, we have Christmas Vacation, we have Home Alone and dozens of others, right? If you're stressed out about the economy during the holidays, we have It's a Wonderful Life. If you are a marketing executive in Manhattan and you're home for the holidays and your high school crush owns a Christmas tree farm, that's every Hallmark movie ever. I just saved you several hours. You're welcome. Yeah. But we recognize the power of these stories, don't we? That they resonate with us, except for the Hallmark, right? But they do. They resonate with us. And I will say this, that Jesus, he knew this too. He knew that stories are powerful. In fact, one of the verses that is in Matthew, and these are on your notes if you're a note taker, but it says this, it says, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. These are short stories that relate to people. If he's going to talk about the kingdom of God, he's going to talk about a farmer. He's going to talk about things that are relatable for people. And so here's what I want you to get out of today. Is that everyone in here has a story, and here's the other thing, that there are people in your life who are dying to hear that story. Simple as that. You see, here's the deal. Whenever you have an encounter with God, whenever you meet the Almighty, the Creator, your life changes. So we're going to look at four examples in the Gospels, specifically in the book of John here, and these people meet Jesus, and they have different kinds of encounters with Jesus. So the first one here is a spiritual encounter. So this comes from John chapter 4, and it's this woman who goes out to the well, to the drinking fountain, if you will. And Jesus says this, he says, go get your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus even says this. He says, you're right that you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had five, and the one that you're living with now is not your husband. And so here's what the verse says. It says, so the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and they were coming to him. And so she has this transformative, this spiritual experience with Jesus. He's saying, hey, if you want water, I am the living water. And it opens her eyes. And now she recognizes, could this really be him? Could this be the Christ? And of course she goes and she tells everyone about it. The second kind of encounter, I'll call this this is more like the in-your-face encounter. And so in this case, this is from John chapter 5. And there's a man who's paralyzed and he's waiting by a pool. Now you may be wondering, if this guy is paralyzed, why is he poolside? And the answer is because back then they had this belief that the waters would occasionally stir in the pool. And whenever that happened, they believed that whoever would be the first person to jump into the water would be healed. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. And so you can imagine this man here is paralyzed. And so he's been there for a long time. In fact, the first verse here from John 5:5 says, there's a man who had been there, who had been an invalid for how long? For 38 years. He'd been waiting poolside. And what's interesting is that Jesus comes up to this man after being there for 38 years and asks this very pointed question. He says, do you want to be healed? And it's almost a no-brainer. It's almost like, well, yeah, duh, of course he wants to be healed. Except that if you've ever known someone who says they want to change, but they've lived that way for 38 years, do they really want to change? And so Jesus has this kind of in-your-face moment here. But then the verse continues. It says that Jesus said to him, get up, take your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed. He took his bed and he walked. So Jesus just simply spoke, and this man was just able to stand on up, take his mat, take his bed, and leave. All right, so we're going to go to another encounter. This is the third one. This is a forgiveness encounter, a forgiveness encounter. So this comes from John chapter 8. And in this case, we have a woman who's caught in adultery, and she's brought in front of the whole town. And she's to be condemned. She's to be stoned, put to death. And then Jesus says these profound words. Maybe you've heard the story before where Jesus says, whoever is without sin, throw the first stone. And one by one, with the elders being the first, that they drop their stones. And then Jesus says this. He stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. So Jesus here recognizes that clearly she's repentant. She's about to be condemned. She's about to be stoned to death. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you, that he forgives this woman here. And then finally, we have a healing encounter. We have a healing encounter. And this is in John chapter 9. And here's what's interesting about this story is that it's a man who was born blind. And the reason why it's important that he was born blind is because, well, from birth, this is a defect, that it's not like he just slowly started to lose his eyesight over time, but he's always had this condition. And for him, growing up in this small town, everyone knew him, they knew his family, and also they knew his profession. I mean, what is he going to be when he grows up? He's left to be a beggar. So everyone just knew, here's blind man, beggar Joe. They all just kind of knew him because, well, they've grown up around him. They know everything about him. And all that's important later on. So in this case, Jesus comes up to this man who was born blind and he heals him. But here's how he does it. He spits in the ground and creates this like saliva, loogie mixture. All right, kind of gross with the dirt here. Rubs it on the man's eyes, and even then he's not healed, right? He says, go and wash yourself. And I know, right? Like he put a loogie on the guy's eyes. The least he could do is heal him, but he doesn't. He says, you got to go and wash. Why is it that he has to go and wash? And the answer is because for this man that in order to be healed, it requires faith. Faith is action. You know, it's not just an idea. It's not just a belief, it's doing. And so, because after all, if he didn't believe that Jesus could heal him, if he just believed that Jesus was a fraud, then he would have just stood there and he would have forever been blind. But he goes, he wants to try it out. I mean, really, what are the other options? And so he goes, he washes, and then he receives sight. But this is a problem for the Pharisees, the religious leaders at the time, because the Pharisees did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. They believed that he was a fraud, that he was a sinner. And so how is it that a sinner can perform a miracle like this? And so that was a dilemma for them. So they wanted to do an investigation, but really what they wanted to do was to spin the story, to say that, oh, no, it wasn't really this guy who received his sight, but rather it's a fake. He's a stand-in, he's an actor or something. And so they press the man who was born blind. They press him, they say, is this really what happened? And what about this? What about that? And then they even go to his family and they press his family and then his parents kick it back to the man. And so here they are, they're asking all these questions about Jesus and the blind man says, whether he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. It's amazing grace. You guys know this one, right? Whether he's a sinner, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see. He's sharing his story. And so for you, my encouragement as we move into the holiday season here is to articulate your story. What is your story? What is your faith story? And whatever that is, the ups and the downs, the good times, the bad times, whatever those things are, write them down, and then that is your story. A couple questions to get you started here is, what was my life like before Jesus, and what has it been since Jesus? And so with a group this size, there are some of us who vividly remember life before Jesus. And then they had an encounter, like the people in the book of John. They encountered Jesus, and now their life is different since Jesus. And there are many people that can easily identify that in this room. But what if you have a story that's maybe not quite, you know, the Hollywood movie story about a man who was a murderer, was in a biker gang, and then found Jesus? Like, what if that's not your story? That's okay, because after all, your story is your story. In fact, I've even heard people say this. They said, you know, my story is kind of boring. It's kind of lame. I mean, I was baptized, I was raised in the church, and I still believe in God. And that's a really boring story. But I'll push back on that. It's not at all a boring story. It's a very interesting story for this reason, that there are many people, not just a statistic that we could look at as a national trend or something, but there are people in our lives that we know who had a similar story, a similar beginning rather, that they were baptized, they were raised in the church, they believed in God, but something happened and now they've walked away from the faith. Something has happened in their life where now they live their life rejecting God. And so, if you are still here this morning, or you're online with us, and you still believe in Jesus, then why? Why is it that your family members have walked away from the faith, but you still have faith? Why is that? And that's your story, and that's a very important thing to write down. It's a very important thing to know off the top of your head, so that way whenever someone asks, hey, why, you know, you seem like a reasonable person. How can you believe in the fairy tale that there's like a man in the sky watching everything you say and do? What's your response to that? And a great time to share your story, but if you don't know your story, you're just gonna be saying, I don't know, right? But share your story. The first thing you gotta do, though, is you gotta know what your story is. The next thing is that you got to look for opportunities to share your story. And there are many opportunities that come along. Sometimes we say, a whole week has gone by, a whole month has gone by, I haven't had an opportunity to share my faith. Well, no, that's wrong. You have, it's just that you've missed them. You weren't seeing it, you weren't listening for that opportunity. Because these opportunities, they just pop up all the time. For example, I was talking to a neighbor yesterday, and we were talking about Thanksgiving, and you know, we're talking about, does she have this kind of pie or that kind of pie? But even in that midst of that conversation, she had shared that, you know, the holidays are kind of a hard time for her. And she said that, not this year, but in years previous during the holidays, that she's lost her husband and her son. And she even made this joke. She said, you know, I'm done with funerals. All right. There's only going to be one more funeral, and that's mine. And I won't even know what's going on with it. Right. But really, though, it was a hard time for her, and she was opening up to that. And there's an opportunity to share the hope of Jesus. Whenever someone's hurting, you have an opportunity. You know, it's interesting. Whenever I first got into ministry, there was this phrase that a lot of people used. I still hear it occasionally, but not as often. And it's this phrase that, well, I just don't want to push my religion on someone. And I don't really understand that, because it's not pushing anything. In fact, it's inviting someone to experience the hope that you found in Jesus. But what's interesting, though, is that that was 15 years ago. And today, however, there's this big trend out there on social media. For those of you who are on social know this, that the big trend right now is to be a social media influencer, right? To be a TikTok influencer, an Instagram influencer. These influencers get paid way more than they should, and they represent a brand, you know, so they'll wear a certain sunglasses or have a certain purse. And their whole job is to use social media to share their experiences, to share their ideas, to share the kinds of clothing that they're wearing, and then it's to make an impact, it's to make an influence on the general public, to make an impact on you, to influence how you live your life. And so right now the big trend is to be an influencer. And for me, I look at that and I say, man, that's a shift in culture, right? Whereas before we said, well, we're just gonna keep things to ourselves. And now the goal is that people will say, you know, like I'll ask students, what do you wanna be when you grow up? I wanna be a TikTok influencer. It's like, okay, you know, like these are really the things that kids see that they aspire to be. And so the question then is, how can you be an influencer for Jesus? Like, how can you use your influence to point others to Jesus? Even if you're not on TikTok, all right, think about the influence that you have. Do you have influence with your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers? Use that influence for God's kingdom. You know, another fear that I hear people say is, they'll say, well, what if they ask a question and I just don't know the answer to it? I mean, after all, what if they disprove the cosmological and the teleological arguments for the existence of God? Hmm? What if? And you know what you could say if someone were to say that? You would say, what are you talking about? No, really, you would say, I mean, I don't know. Like really, they could. There are logical arguments. Like how do we know that God exists? Can you prove it? There are logical arguments for that. And some people can poke holes at those. And they could if they really wanted to. And you could debate those things. But also, you could just say, like, if you really don't know, you could just simply say that. You can say, I don't know. In fact, that's exactly what happened in John 9, right? Whenever the guy is being pressed, who is Jesus? Is he a sinner? Is he this? Is he that? And the man just simply says, I don't know if Jesus is this or if he's that, but what I do know is, and then he shares his story. I do know that I was once blind, but now I see. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. And for me, that's exciting because after all, you cannot disprove a story, right? You can argue and disprove theories, but you cannot disprove someone's story. You can't say, no, that didn't happen to you. You can't say that because it's your story. You own it. It's something that is real and it happened to you and no one can say otherwise. For me, I can recognize that of course I know that God is real because, well, he's intervened in many different ways in my life. I've prayed, I've asked God help, I need help, I need for God to intervene. And there are times that he's shown up, he's performed a miracle that is unexplainable to anyone. People look at this and say, how can this possibly happen? And as someone of faith, I know that it was God. Some people would say, well, that's just completely random, that just accidentally happened that way, it was a coincidence. But to me, it takes more faith to believe that at least the things that I've seen are just completely random and there wasn't someone behind it. You know, it's funny, we look at the different arguments to prove the existence of God. And our high school group a couple months ago, we looked at a few of them and they are interesting and they are helpful. But you know, the truth is that the reason that I'm standing here today, the reason that I believe in God is not because of the cosmological argument for the existence of God, right? No, of course not. And neither are you, because ultimately, the reason that you believe in God is because you're invited. Someone invited you into a relationship with Jesus. Someone introduced you to God. And then you had an encounter, just like the woman at the well, just like the woman caught in adultery, just like the men who were in need of healing, that they've had an encounter. So too have you had an encounter with God Almighty. And here's the thing, is that God can use that story to make an impact. Now, here's the thing about impact, is that we don't even realize the kind of impact that we're having, right? Because we don't immediately see results. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we share faith with someone and they start coming to church or they start making changes in their life. Sometimes we see those things, but that's very rare. For a lot of people, it's a process and there's multiple people involved. And in fact, it may be that you share your story and then years go by. And the person you shared a story with has now moved to a different state and you've lost contact with them. But here's this verse from 1 Corinthians that I find interesting. It says this, it says, I planted a seed. Apollos was another leader in the church. He watered. And then ultimately, who's the one who grows all this? Of course, it's God. God's the one. The Holy Spirit does the work. But it is first, Paul's talking about this, and he says that I'm the one who planted and someone else watered. And isn't that true in our lives, that we can plant a seed and someone else waters? And as a result, we don't see that. We don't see the end result. And so the reason I mention this is because sometimes it's easy to be discouraged and to say, you know, I'm just not making an impact. I want to be an influencer, but I don't feel like I'm actually influencing anyone. And it's just not true that you just ultimately don't see the impact here. See, these opportunities, they present themselves all the time. Too often we miss them, be an influencer. So it is kind of interesting. This time of year, we celebrate Christmas, right? We have the Christmas tree up. We decorate around here. In your own home, maybe you've decorated as well. And it is kind of an interesting time of year where a lot of people who don't normally go to church will find themselves at a church. If you drive by just about any church in America on Christmas Eve, it's going to be full. It's going to be packed with people. And it's almost kind of a question like, where do all these people come from, right? But if we look at that and we ask, why is that? I think there could be a few different reasons. So, for example, you have someone who grew up in the faith. They grew up believing in God. They went to Sunday school. But ultimately, at some point in their teen years, their adult years, they rejected God. They fell away from the faith. And for them, they'll drive by a church on Christmas Eve and they'll see a candlelight service. And they'll think, you know, I miss that. I kind of want to go back to that. It's a tradition. It's something that they cling to, something that they enjoyed when they were a kid. Or maybe they didn't grow up in the church at all, and they have heard about Jesus, but they really have never really been properly introduced. They really don't know who Jesus is. And so, especially this time of year, you can't escape Christmas this time of year, right? Like, you're going to Walgreens and there's hymns that are playing. When else do you walk into Walgreens and there's hymns from your grandma's hymnal playing? Except that this time of year, we have that. And it's cool. I enjoy hearing Christmas carols whenever I go to Walgreens. And so there could be someone who's never grown up in the church and they hear all these stories, they hear all these things, and they're just kind of wondering, you know, what is it really about Christmas that causes Christians to act like this, to put up all the decorations and to celebrate Jesus? Or maybe it's just simply the stress, the anxiety of the holidays that just break people. And they're reaching for something else. You know, they've tried all the tips, the tricks, the self-help books, and they're just looking, okay, what's something real that's going to make a change? You know, it's easy to laugh at the man who was sitting by the pool for 38 years. It's easy to laugh at him, isn't it? Like, it is laughable that the water is going to heal you. The water's not going to heal you. We all know that. We've evolved. We're smarter than people 2,000 years ago. Except that, what do? Whenever we need help? What do we do whenever we're sick? What do? Whenever we need help with dealing with life? And so often we go to all these sources that aren't helpful. We go to all these sources that aren't from God. And so some people may be looking at that as well. There's an opportunity. It's like the video showed here. You know, we could do all the things we could. Our church, we are going to decorate lights. We're going to put a banner out. We're going to do all the things. But ultimately, it's that personal invitation that's going to make a difference. A few people are going to see a banner and think, oh, I got to come in. But you have that influence. You have that ability, your friends, your family, your coworkers. And I think this is another reason why I just have such a problem with the whole pushing your religion, because it's not pushing anything. It really is just saying, hey, you know what? I once was blind, now I see. I have experienced the hope. I mean, this month of December, even though it's kind of crazy, it's an exciting year for me because I know that we're all pointing towards Christmas Eve. We get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's a big, exciting holiday that I get to celebrate. And for someone who doesn't have that and who can't celebrate with the hope, the joy, the peace, the love, the things that we celebrate this time of year, I think, you know, I really wish that they too could experience that. It's simply one beggar showing another beggar where the food is. But here's the thing, that Jesus can offer something that no one else can. He can offer eternal life. In fact, there's this verse in John 14 where Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. So ultimately, I'll leave you with this. To take the opportunities that present themselves all the time, share your story, and just like the Christmas carol that we sing this time of year, that go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you as we gather here together today that we can dive into these true stories from the book of John about people who met Jesus. They had an encounter and they had an experience that they had a life change, and they just couldn't help but to tell others about that. We pray, Lord, that in this year of 2024, as it comes to a close, we head into the holidays, we celebrate Christmas. We pray, Lord, that we can share that message, that hope, with the people around us. And so we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.